Welcome to Module 7, Happiness Habits. What does that mean? Well, we're going to get into that in a minute. But first, I want to be redundant and say, I'm so glad you're here playing Full Out. We all wish for more. People beg for more. They're getting mad when they don't get it. But most people aren't willing to put in the time to make shifts, to create new habits, to throw away things that don't serve them, to learn new ideas, to know that their best thinking got them here. You are. So thank you for being here with us and with me right this minute as we go through the accelerated success formula. And right now I want to talk about what comes first, the chicken or the egg. It's like, oh, it was the chicken because you had to lay the egg. But where'd the chicken come from? Oh, it came from the egg. Oh, all right. Like if you, it's a simple little question, but if you actually sit and ponder it, it's like one of those questions you can't answer, right? So I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the chicken or the egg, but I want you to think about what this in the terms of success and happiness. I really want you to think about that, success and happiness, because here's what I know. Maybe this is just me, but I remember prolonging my happiness until the success came. I can be happier when my business finally gets launched. I can be happier when I find true love in my life. I'll be happier when I feel like I'm in better shape. I'll be happier when my business goes from, you know, $5,000 a month to $50,000 a month. That's, oh, I'll get to celebrate and I'll get to go have fun and I'll get to go do things. But until then, and I know I lived a lot of my life. I can't give you an exact date or time when it shifted, but there was an epiphany, there was a transformation, there was a shift. I used to think happiness followed success. I watched my parents not be successful. They weren't happy that much, I'll just be honest with you. So I kept thinking success would have made them happy. And they had it wrong. I had it wrong. You might have it wrong. My kids have it wrong sometimes, and I have to work with them to make sure they don't, right? Think about that. My daughter is in the middle of software. I've mentioned this multiple times, but she's back in. She's working so hard. And just yesterday, my daughter called me and said she wasn't happy. She said she had practiced 4 hours on Monday. She practiced 2 hours on Tuesday, 2 hours on Wednesday, 4 hours on Thursday. And the end of the 4 hours, she called and was so frustrated and mad and pissed at herself. She's like, all this practice this week and I just went outside and threw by herself outside, pitching into a net, buckets of balls, and she didn't feel she was throwing fast enough. As fast as she could be, and she was beating herself up, unhappy and mad. And oh my God, I saw myself. I don't know if you guys have what age your children are. She's 14, and my daughter is me. Oh my God, like me. And I watched her doing what I used to do. She was beating herself up, unhappy, and she would have been happy if she threw faster. Think about that. She would have been happy. She's prolonged. She's not allowing herself to be happy. No one ever talked to me this way. That I get it because I lived there until I, in my evolution, my journey through success, my journey through my own personal growth, I realized I had it asked backwards. My daughter couldn't be happy this very moment. Happiness is like a power plant. A power plant doesn't have energy. A power plant creates energy. We don't have happiness. We create happiness. And here's the thing I know, and it took me so long to get here. Success comes exponentially faster when you decide to be happy first. Tony Robbins always says, if you won't give a dollar out of 10, you won't give 100,000 out of a million, or 10 million out of 100 million to people who need it, right? It's the same thing here. If you can't be happy with the little things, I promise you no money in the world, no success in the world is gonna make you happy. You're gonna be chasing this success to give you a buzz, and the buzz will never come. So the conversation I had with my daughter was very mature. I wish I could share it with you. My daughter's very emotionally intelligent. So is my son. I'll tell you a story about him a little bit. But my daughter, I know she got it. I said, hon, you get to choose. You get to choose. You could be mad and pissed and unhappy until the ball goes a little faster. Or I'm just saying, you could see what your father sees and you could be happy in this moment. You got water on your knee and you couldn't pitch for 6 months. When they finally fixed it, you broke your ankle. You couldn't pitch for 6 months. You're over a year out. And when you decided 2 weeks ago to back into softball, you've been practicing 2 to 4 hours a day. That is unbelievable. I'm so damn proud of you. You could be happy about that. You could be happy that 2 weeks ago when you picked up the ball, you didn't throw me one darn strike. 2 days ago when we caught, you threw me 7 out of 10 strikes over and over. You could be happy about that. You get to decide. And let me ask you something, Bree. Do you think you'll get better by beating yourself up, being rude to yourself, withholding your happiness, prolonging the joy? Do you think that'll make you better quicker? Or do you think you could find happiness in this evolution, that in your commitment to work hard, happy in the 7 out of 10 strikes, not unhappy with the 3 balls? Do you think you could be happy? And which one of you will enjoy the game more? Which one of you will fight to get more success? And which one of them does God, the universe, whatever you believe in, tap you on the shoulder and reward you with more? The happier person, hands down. I watch my son do this. My boy Brody is such an amazing kid. He is so good at baseball. He's recovering from a broken ankle from the same trampoline. I know I've shared that before, but God, how terrible. You do something great by provide your kids with cool trampolines and they both break their ankle. But I watch my son do the same thing. He's looking for the instant gratification, happiness, and when that doesn't work, we're moving on to the next thing. And how many times are you gonna bounce from one opportunity to another, thinking one of them will bring you quicker success and quicker happiness? What if we're missing the whole point that we have the opportunity to create happiness first? We get to create happiness first. And when I watch my son do this, and I talk about my kids a lot, I have 3, but my youngest is 9 months old at the time, so I don't think he qualifies. I ask him, I talk to him, but I don't get a lot of feedback. So I got to go with the older two for now. But think about that. What if you could train your brain, create a framework where the happiness came first and then your success came faster? Instead of like, oh, I gotta make this call. What if you're in a space, in a state of happiness where you can't wait to make that call? You get rejected, you're happy that you learned what you did wrong. I know that sounds fluff. And believe me, if you think everything is rainbows and butterflies for me and unicorns and everything's perfect, it's not true. But these are the little things that become the big things. That's why I'm sharing this with you. That's why we're talking about it right now, right here, because these are the little things that are the big things. If I'm gonna help you be more successful in business life, anything that you do in the knowledge industry, in the network marketing industry, in your personal life, with your health, your relationships, whatever it is you do, if I'm really gonna help you, then I wanna give you the real tools, the upstream, behind the scene tools, the stuff people don't talk about. Because listen, Would you really trade your happiness for $1 million a year? Let's be honest. Would you trade your happiness for $5 million a year? How about $100 million a year? Would you trade your happiness for $100 million a year? Right now, I said, can't be happy. You always got to look for what's next. Always got to beat yourself up. Never celebrate. Never feel good. But hey, you're going to have $100 million a year. Would you trade it? Are some of you doing that right now? Be really honest. Are some of you prolonging your happiness, your true joy for life, until you get the deal, until you have a kick-ass company making you money, until you're doing the work that you dreamed of doing, until the money's hitting the bank account? But even if it's just a little bit, it can't work. So what I want to do, I want to go through 10 things that can show you how to put happiness first, to create happiness habits. You guys ready? All right. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to write this down in your journal. I want you to like really anchor in these questions and think through it. So number one is define what happiness looks like to you. Now, I know that most people think you know what happiness is, but do you really? When is the last time you sat down? I'm encouraging you to sit down and compare what happiness means to you, not to others. You see, we live in this world where you could go on Instagram and you think you see the happiest people alive. You think you see the people with the perfect relationship and the perfect love in their life and the perfect car and the perfect house, and we compare ourselves, right? Or we compare ourselves to who we think we're supposed to be, the perfect version of ourselves with the perfect body, the perfect relationship, the perfect income, the perfect house in the perfect area, the perfect vacations, the perfect intimate love affairs and all these incredible things. And we set ourselves up for failure. We're chasing the horizon, something that doesn't really exist. There's no perfect version of you. There's an evolving, never-ending, better version of you. So if we think we know what happiness is, do you really? So I'm gonna encourage you to really take the time to define true happiness, because you can't hit a target that you haven't identified. Fuzzy targets don't get hit. Targets that you haven't identified never get hit. You see, I could be really honest here and tell you that in my 20s, can I just be really raw and real with you here? In my 20s, as a kid who came from nothing and worked really hard since he was 14 years old, working every single day since 14 and 15 and 16, working really hard and not having money and going to school without lunch money. And like, you don't have to have a horrific childhood to have amazing future. That just happens to be mine, right? But from someone who didn't have much, and all of a sudden in my early 20s, I started getting momentum. I had 20 apartments. I had a used car dealership. I had a collision shop. I was building houses. I was subdividing raw land. I started getting momentum in my early 20s, like really good momentum, like making more than anybody in my family, hustling, working really hard, painting cars every day, working on houses every night. Like, I was putting 20-hour days in, like no exaggeration some days. But anyway, from having that, and all of a sudden living in New York, I took a flight, I don't know, I was early 20s, maybe 21, maybe even sooner. I took a flight for work, for something, a project I was working on, and I went to Miami, I went to South Beach, and oh my God, I walked down the strip, that was like early 90s, South Beach was on fire. There was beautiful people everywhere and music coming out of all the nightclubs, and the city didn't sleep. I got sucked into just having the time of my life. So you know what success meant to me in my early 20s? I used to work my butt off until like Thursday at midnight, and I'd jump on a plane Friday super early, like once a month, and I'd fly down to South Beach, Miami. I would go to the Delano, and I'd go to the living room. I'd go to all these clubs. I'd party, dance on tables, get bottle service, go home like feeling like crap on a Monday. I did that. I thought that was happy. Can I tell you something? You couldn't pay me enough money in the world to do that right now. It was so happy. It really did make me happy because it was something I had never experienced, and the energy and the music and just Miami was alive. But that's not me now. I wouldn't fight for anything for that. In fact, I'd do anything not to have to do that. And then it changed in my 30s and it changed in my 40s. And right now, happiness to me, the truth is, I'm so cool with quarantine. I never have to leave my house. I have my older children. I have the love of my life, who's my wife. I have my new boy, Luca. I get to impact people's lives like this. I stay in communication through Zoom, and I am so happy. Like, I know and I defined happiness, but to me, happiness is picking my kids up at 3 o'clock from school and seeing their faces when they come out. Happiness is writing my kids a little note before they go off to school and put it in their lunchbox. Happiness is last night. I was supposed to do it 2 nights ago, but we went last night. Happiness is date night with my wife. We had 2 hours last night where we just talked and flirted and goofed around and talked about old times and talked about our kids and talked about our future. It was unbelievable. Right now, happiness is simple for me, but I know what it means. And I just want you to know, what does happiness mean to you? It could be a hobby. It could be gardening. It could be playing golf. It could be sitting out in the woods. So it could be being by a stream. It could be being by beautiful trees. It could be by just taking a walk by an ocean or in the desert or in a mountain with trees or a mountain without trees. But most of us really don't define it. And then once we define it, we gotta fight for it. And it's gotta be a part of our lives, because that will help us have happiness first, so that can evolve and lead us into more success. Do you wanna do business with someone who's happy or grumpy or prolonging their happiness until they're successful? You know that person, putting off their happiness until tomorrow, until everything's perfect. I have to tell you something, it's never gonna be perfect. Never. I am blessed to be in such a good place in my life right now, but is there some stuff sideways in my life right now? Is there things going sideways and wrong? Yeah, there is, and I gotta deal with them. But I'm trying to deal with them, and I say trying because I'm on a path too, just like you. I'm trying to deal with all of them through the lens of happiness. But you have to define it first. So number one is define happiness. Number two, make the present your friend. Make the present your friend. What does that mean? These are little triggers, guys, right? These are little triggers. How many times when we think about happiness, do we let the past eke in and say, the last time you tried this, last time you were trying a business on your own, you didn't work. Oh, yeah, that's right. I can't let that happen again. Oh, last time you were thinking about being in, you know, a knowledge industry or the information or the digital economy or the network marketing business, you did that. Remember 3 years ago, you paid for that course? And then all of a sudden, like, oh, I better work harder. White knuckle. You're looking backwards, right? Eckhart Tolle, Michael Singer, The Power of Now with Eckhart Tolle, or The Untethered Soul, Michael Singer. Two amazing books. Put them on your list to read if you haven't already, right? We look backwards. It's hard to be happy, especially because our brains want to look at what we failed at. But even worse, if you're looking to the future and say, once I get X amount of people working on me, once I get the course launched, once I get this, that, the other thing, then I can feel like I'm something. I could show my parents, I could show my friends, I could show those who doubted me. You're already making yourself unhappy, and you may never get to that point. So how do we do that? We have to learn to live in this very moment. On a scale of 1 to 10, take away everything that happened to you before today, before this hour. Don't think about tomorrow. If there was no restrictions about the past, if there was no worries about the future, in this moment, how do you feel in this very moment? On a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel right now about identifying what makes you tick, about identifying your happiness, right? Not, thank you, 10, 7, 9, 9, 7, right? You feel better in this moment. What's happening in this moment right now? This is the moment we must focus on. We have to learn to reel in our thoughts from over here, and we have to learn to reel in our thoughts from the future, and we need to focus on what's happening at this very moment. It is way easier to be happy right now than it is by making a movie or projecting a future that hasn't happened yet. You do not have a crystal ball. How many times have you thought you knew where the future was going and it completely changed? Every time. And how many times do you feel great about thinking about the stuff you failed out in the past? Every time. You don't ever feel good about thinking of the things you failed on in the past. So why think about it? The lesson was already learned. The subconscious already got the gig. So we have to be friends with the moment, friends with today, friends with the present. Number three, stop overthinking. That, as you could tell, I think really simple. And I didn't know any other way to write it except for stop overthinking. You know, I've been teaching people different strategies for life, and I will watch people hesitate to engage until they thought through it all. I really need to understand this business, and I need to understand the paperwork, and I understand the documents that people sign. I gotta understand this, gotta understand that. I gotta make sure the color of my website is right, and I gotta make sure that the logo is good. And what about the name? Oh my God, I got the name of my training. I gotta think through this name. Like, let me ask 275,000 freaking people about the name I should do. Let me ask 222 people that are unqualified if I should really do this business. Let me ask 87 people if they like pink or blue. Oh my God. Don't you understand that you're overthinking? It is your scared subconscious giving you a whole bunch of crap to do so you don't get to the things you really need to get to. Stop overthinking. Overthinking robs your happiness. Isn't it pretty cool to go with your gut, to go with your intuition? Now, the reason I can say that to this group is because you're here. You're here. You're a part of a course. You're a part of a training. You are gaining the capabilities from someone who's already been there in different areas of your life. So if you can rob what other people have already done that works, and you know it's the roadmap, then what's left is uncomfortable action, not overthinking. What is that? Overanalysis causes paralysis. How many times have you heard it? But are you living it, right? What are you waiting for? Being on the sidelines doesn't allow you to score a touchdown. I hate to use silly sports analogies, but so many people sit on the sidelines reading the rule books, but never grab the ball and run out on the field. Stop overthinking. I'm telling you right now, stop overthinking. All right. That's number three. Number four, focus on a positive outcome. Here's the cool thing about focusing on a positive outcome. You get to choose, right? If you don't know the outcome, if you don't know the outcome, you have the choice to say, this is going to work or it's not. Is that true? True or what? If you don't know the outcome and you get to choose, you get to focus on either one. I'm telling you that you get to decide, and I'm going to decide 100% out of 100 out of 100 times, I'm going to decide that the outcome is going to be amazing. I'm going to decide that the company is going to launch. I'm going to decide I'm going to hit my revenue goals. I'm going to decide the happiness is going to happen. I'm going to focus on and just decide in advance that I'm going to find the love of my life. When I was going through a divorce, and anybody went through a divorce, I'm sorry, and I'm not an advocate of divorce, but it was the right thing for me and my ex-wife, okay? It was the right thing for her too. But when I went through it, I was scared to death for my children. I was a child of divorce. I thought they were gonna go through the same thing and be fragmented and scared. None of that happened. But there was a moment when I realized all I was focusing on is things going sideways with my kids. And I have to tell you, it crippled me. I went through it, first time in life, I had straight up anxiety attacks. I literally had to pop a Xanax once a week for like a 3-month stretch. I don't take aspirin. I don't take antibiotics when I'm sick. I don't take anything. I take vitamins. That's it. I literally was coming unglued. Do you know why I was coming unglued? And I'm being really personal with you. Because my focus is on all the things that could go wrong for my kids. I focused on them. I focused on them not knowing what family to go to. That all the things we worked on, that they'd feel lonely. They'd feel scared. I focused on me missing baseball games. I focused that I'd be traveling and come home and it wouldn't be my day. And I couldn't see my kids for a couple days. Oh my God, not seeing my kids. I focused that they wouldn't know which place to go. I focused that maybe my ex would talk bad about me. I focused on all the crap. This is what I do. And it was tearing me apart. Like literally one night a week, a Xanax. 2 nights a week, 2 glasses of wine, just so I could kind of go to sleep. My life changed when I was like, what the heck am I doing? I just changed my focus. I focused on the greatest, again, not advocate of divorce, but I focused on a child-centered divorce. I focused on more quality of time if I don't have the quantity of time. I focused that I was going to be dear friends with my ex. I focused that we would co-parent better than any two people in the world. I focused that my kids would thrive. I also focused that I would attract, I'd become a better man, and I would attract the perfect woman in my life. I focused on that I would attract a woman that would accept the way I care about my kids and love them like she would love her own and be cool with the fact that my ex-wife was in their lives and it wasn't this contentious. I started focusing on this. I came alive. I had the choice. I had the choice to focus on shit would go sideways or things would be amazing. When I shifted, the moment I shifted, I never took another Xanax. The moment I shifted, the anxiety went away. The moment I shifted, I started looking for resources to fulfill that focus that I had. The moment I decided to shift that focus, I started being happier. I started being joyful. My kids felt it. They felt 10,000 pounds off their dad's shoulders. And with that, my kids are thriving right now. My ex is doing great. I'm married to the love of my life. I shared this earlier, but on Mother's Day or birthdays, my current wife is helping the kids make presents for their mom on our kitchen table. On Christmas this year, my wife bought their mom a present and she bought my wife a present. Like, my kids don't even know there's separation. They don't know there's an issue. They just know that this is the kind of family they have. But it was all because of the focus I had, and I became happier before it actually happened. I focused on what could go right rather than what could go wrong. As easy as that sounds, our damn subconscious is like a born pessimist. Nope, I ain't gonna work out. I ain't gonna happen. You wasted the money. You wasted the time. Nobody's gonna wanna listen to you. Is this the right thing? Nah. Like, our brain wants to do that, and it's wrong. And it's wrong. So focus on a positive outcome. Why not? Your brain's gonna focus on something. You might as well focus on what could go right, because that's how you attract the happiness and the results you're looking for. Okay, number 5, let go of specific outcomes. Let go of specific outcomes. This is another one that'll drive people crazy and absolutely rob your confidence and your happiness. Let me just ask you, no matter what age you are, think of 5, 10, 20 years ago. Think of some of the things you wished for when you were younger. What if that was your life right now, right? in my 20s, I wish I could party in Miami for the rest of my life. Ew, right? But that was my outcome at the time. You see, there are byproducts. I want you to hear this. When you have a goal, I'm doing this because I'm picturing me writing on the whiteboard. You're here, and you have a goal that's here. And you're going to do everything in your power to go from here to here, right? But how many times in your life is it a straight line? How many times, like, unhappy, dying for success, oh, everything was perfect, I'm here, yay, exactly the way I wanted it, right? You thought you wanted to be married to this man, and all of a sudden, you went to talk to this person that you had a crush on, and you realized his friend, this other person, was the love of your life, right? You had one focus, but a byproduct of that came along. How many times did you start a new business? What was it, Twitter? Twitter was competing with, I forget what Twitter was doing. Twitter was doing something, and then all of a sudden Facebook came out with it, or YouTube came out with it, and they're like, ah. And then Twitter, like, their focus was to be like the YouTube, and when it didn't work out, they're like, well, what about this chat thing? It was a byproduct. If they would have said, no, we failed, we were supposed to be YouTube, we didn't get there on purpose, oh, I'm unhappy. No, we need to look for the blessings in the shifts. We need to be like the canoe going down the river, and all of a sudden you get to a point where it goes in two different directions, the stream, and you thought you were going to the right, and like, no, and the current takes you this way. You got to realize we can't obsess on the outcome, because down that side of the river is probably where you're supposed to be, the byproduct of your goal, right? I started in a friendship with Tony Robbins. Never knew we were going to do business together. We started helping each other in a lot of things. We were going to do this, going to do that, but the byproduct is we created a course on helping people be in the knowledge industry, and now I'm helping run all of Tony's companies. I didn't know I was going to do that. We did it because it was a byproduct of our friendship. So my whole point is, some of the things you thought you were supposed to go for would be small in comparison to the byproduct of it shifting and pointing you down another way down the stream. So I want you to realize that if you are stuck on specific outcomes, you can set yourself up for failure by going, oh, I failed, and sit and moping, when really you were thinking you're going to the land of silver, and God, the universe, the stream, whatever you believe in, puts you on the path to platinum, the path to gold, but you're pouting about the silver that you missed where there's mountains of gold. So don't get stuck on specific outcomes. Be prepared for the shift. Be prepared for the byproduct that could be bigger than the original goal. Number six, and I appreciate you guys writing these down, but number six is, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail. Here's another book that should be on your reading list. It's by Clayton Christensen, called How Will You Measure Your Life? Top five of all books. I read a book about every, listen to a book about every, it's about every month now. It used to be about every 10 days. It's about every month I go through a book. I am listening to that again right now for the third time in probably the past 5 years. It's a great book. And it talks about, in one section, how we have outsourced a lot of things in our lives. Not to be bad parents, but we've outsourced a lot. I mean, think about it. When a lot of us were kids, we mowed our lawns, we cleaned our rooms, we did so many of the things that we just took for granted. We took out the garbage, and some of those things still happen in some of our families, but it's really gotten really cheap to have someone mow your lawn, or maybe clean your house once in a while, or do these things. And we've outsourced a lot for our kids that they don't see and don't do. And what the biggest byproduct, he said, and I love this, is we don't realize, yes, we keep our kids in sports and do all the fun things to keep them busy, but what we're missing is setting our kids up for the ability to fail. Because in life, it's not about the wins, it's about the failures you've had that you've overcome. What do they say? What is the smoothest stone in a stream? The one in the roughest part of the stream, right? And why we have a whole generation of kids that get anxiety really fast and don't know how to handle when they get rejection or things go sideways is because they didn't have the ability to fail enough. Think about that. I'm guilty of that. I want to raise my hand. I'm literally reading this book for the third time, and I am setting up monthly challenges for my children right now. Like, literally monthly challenges. Like, things like, I'm digressing and taking you into my personal life. I'm setting up a challenge where they need to sell $100 worth of something on eBay. That's the only thing I'm telling them in a month. I'm telling them they have to raise $500 for a charity. That's all I'm telling them. They have to build a website and sell something. That's all I'm telling them. And I'm going to let them figure it out and fail because I have not allowed my kids to fail enough. Just be honest with you. I really haven't. Life goes sideways. They want to do something. Business doesn't work in the first month. They're going to come running back. Like, I don't understand, Dad. When I was under your roof, nothing went sideways. I will be a fundamental failure as a father if I don't set up ways for them to fail. Failure is not a negative. Failure is a must. If you haven't failed enough, you are not pushing yourself. So why would we dare get sad when we failed? We have the nerve to go after the things that other people won't. Do you want to be the person that sat on the sidelines and say, I never failed once, but you didn't try shit in your life. No wonder you didn't fail. You haven't stepped off the path. You didn't take uncomfortable action. You're going to brag about that? You think the happiest person at the end of their life is the person that said, I never failed once. I played it safe and I lived a okay life, right? Or the person says, I failed a million times, but I got back up and I learned and I navigated new territory. I failed wonderfully. Fail wonderfully. Be happy with your failures. Yes, they suck and things go sideways. I'm not saying, oh, I failed, this is perfect. But stop and think, I don't get to where I want to be unless I go through this, unless I pay the success tax, unless I fail. So we have the opportunity to be happy at some level for failure, because what did Winston Churchill say? The definition of success is going from failure to failure without losing your enthusiasm. Let that sink in. Let go of grudges. Number 7, let go of grudges. So I'm gonna tell you a little story. My stepdad, who's no longer with us, was a really amazing dude. I had a bunch of stepdads, but this one was special. He was another dad to me. It was my mom's high school sweetheart. And she loved him to death, but he went off to the army and things didn't work out. And long story short, they weren't together. And then after many, many years of not being together, they got back together. And the truth is, they got back together when I was 10 till about 15, and they got a divorce. They were married, they got a divorce. And I have to be honest, he had some things he had to figure out. And then he came back to my mom, and he was with her for the last 10 years of his life. And they were in love every day. It was magical to watch. I'm so sad that he's gone. We lost him a couple of years ago. And but I have to tell you, about 7 years ago, we almost lost them for the first time. We were in Cabo in Mexico, and I rented this big old house, and we had just a family reunion, just a close family, like me, my mom, my sister, her kids, my stepdad. It was really magical, really magical. And while we were there in Mexico, my stepdad's intestines burst, and bleeding, almost bleeding to death. And you know, you're in Mexico, you don't know anybody, and it's crazy. And we race him, we get an ambulance and we race him to the hospital. It was crazy. And another ambulance cuts off this ambulance, said, you should be in this ambulance, that ambulance is no good. Oh my God, it was absolute insane. So we get to the hospital, he's bleeding really bad. He lost so much blood that he can't talk, he's dizzy. And the only way he can talk is if they lift his legs up and all the blood rushes from his legs to his head so he can think enough to have a conversation. And he wants to talk to me. So we get him set up and we get him to go into surgery. He's going to surgery and he wants to talk to me. Our whole family's there. My mom's there. And he said to me, we get there, and just a lesson, and maybe you have heard it or been a part of something like this, and I just want to share it with you, and this helps anchor in let go of grudges, number 7. My stepdad, they raise his legs up. I go in there, I'm holding his hand. I'm like, I said, we got this, Len. We're going to be okay. And I luckily found a friend of a friend. We found a great surgeon. He's in there. He's going to do his gig. And this is a man that could die. He lost the majority of blood in his body. He's going in emergency surgery in a city he's never been in, a doctor we've never worked with. Like, it's emergency. It happens now or we're losing him. And he wants to talk to me and he says, out of his mouth, he's like, please, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. When I was married to your mom the first time between 10 and 15, I loved being your stepdad. I loved being your stepfather and to your sister as well. And I loved being your mom's husband. And he started telling me all the things he regretted. And he started letting me know that he had a grudge with his dad. And he was just telling me all these things. And I got to glimpse at the end of your life. Like all the stuff that you think is important and the things that we hold grudges on and the things that we regret, That was his thought when he didn't know if he had 5 minutes left. And it just really fundamentally shifted me. And I decided to never keep a grudge anymore. I'm just done with it. Do I get mad? Of course. Do I want anybody screwing me over, being mean to me? No. But who is it hurting if we're holding on? We only have so much happiness to give. Like, if we have a happiness bucket, I have my green tea here. If happiness can fill this much in our body, right? If we fill the cup up with angry and resentment and why'd they do this to me and how could someone take advantage of me and why would they leave me? Why would they cheat? Why would they do this? Why would they do that? Should they have done it? No. But are we gonna fill our bucket up with something that's a grudge, that's negative, when we only have so much space? I watch this man purging this stuff and I'm like, hell no. I am not holding grudges. I am not gonna have resentment. I'm just letting it go because it only hurts me. Fortunately, we got him surgery and we got him fixed up and I got a private plane to fly him back to the United States and we got him a second and a third and a fourth surgery and my mom had like six or seven more years with him until some other complications came in and we lost Lenny. What a gift he gave me. And I'll thank him forever for that and for being such a great stepdad. He was a kind of a crappy husband for a little while, but he was always a really good stepdad and he left me with a great lesson. So think about that. What can you decide? What can you decide to let go of today? To empty that cup so you can fill it with more happiness. What can you decide today? Who can you forgive today? You get to make the decision. They may never change. They may never say they're sorry. They may not even know they did anything wrong. And they may be just a total jerk. But we get to decide. Their poison. If we hold it, we drink the poison. You can decide that today. Number 8, be grateful for what's in front of you. That's an easy one, right? We all know gratitude is the fastest way to happiness, but I'm gonna give you a little secret here. I'm gonna give you a little secret. What if you lowered the bar of gratitude? Because we're always looking at gratitude as this big thing. I'm gonna encourage you to frame your mind, frame your thoughts, to be grateful for the little things. Be grateful for the little things. Be grateful you woke up today. 150,000 people die every single day. 150,000 people die every day. Google it. You didn't. Could you be going through some tough time? Of course, and you could focus on that. Or you could focus that you're here to fight another day. Like, literally, I wake up sometimes, and I talk about this in my morning routine, I wake up and just say, I'm grateful these sheets feel so good. My wife's next to me. It's raining. It's not raining. I can breathe. It's another day. Like, lower the bar. I don't do this perfect every day, but when I do, I'm in a happier place because there's so much to be grateful for. Every single moment, we can decide if we're grateful or not. You can always decide what's wrong. It's always available. But what's right is always available. What can make you happy is always available if you decide to look at it. And don't feel guilty for being grateful. Like, literally, do not feel guilty for being happy. Like, I shouldn't be happy yet because I have too much work to do. I shouldn't be happy yet because I used to be lazy. I shouldn't be happy yet because bullshit. Let that go. That's somebody else's belief. That's someone else's conversation. You get to decide. You can wake up and be grateful that your eyes open and find happiness. You lower the bar that level, that low, it is impossible not to be happy. You open your eyes and say, I didn't make my 10 grand today. I didn't make the 5 calls today. No one said that my kids left without saying they love me. My wife didn't kiss me on the cheek. Ah! But what about all the other things you could just see that are there for you? What you decide, you get to decide what you focus on. So number 8 was, be grateful for what's in front of you, the small things. Number 9, don't settle for good enough. And I think you guys could write this down too. Don't settle for good enough. Think about this. What if at the end of your life, I really want you to think about this one. It's the end of your life. You're 105 years old. You're in the hospital. You're getting ready to pass to another place. And 5 of your best friends are standing around the bed. They don't know you can hear them. They don't know that you can hear them. And they're saying, you know, Bob lived a good life. You know, he lived a good life. You know, he did the right thing by his family. He didn't venture out. He was consistent. He was steady Eddie. You know, he got the 3% raise every year and didn't step out of the lines too much. And, you know, he went to the baseball games and he went to the plays at school and he took his wife on a date once a month. And, you know, Bob lived a good life. Could you imagine being in that bed going, oh my God, I did live just a good life. I don't want good. I don't want okay. I want freaking outstanding. I want amazing. I want them to be like, oh my God, Bob, is this guy nuts? Like, this is, how would you rather be that description or them going, oh my God, was this guy nuts? This guy went after everything. Oh my God, he failed miserably. But what about when he did this? What about that business? What about when he donated all that money to charity? What about when he failed miserably, lost it back, and a year later, he was doing better than ever before? Remember when everybody doubted about this? And could you imagine that conversation? Like, Bob lived the most amazing life. He traveled. He didn't just go to a few games. He coached with his kids, and he didn't just go on date nights. He romanced his wife. She held his hand to the day he was 100 years old. Like, we want outstanding and we are in control of it. So do not settle for good. Don't settle for okay. Screw that. We have one shot at this. I don't know if we get to come back. And if we don't, do you want to waste it? What day should you start saying, I'm not settling for good? Now, this moment, you get to decide, not me. I'm just here to inspire you, but you have to take the action. And that's why we're here together. You could be listening to anything. You're here with me. So if you're still here with me, then you want more. You want more than good. You want more than okay. You want more than status quo. So make that decision right now that good is not enough. That's number eight. That's number nine. And the last one. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Be a part of something bigger than yourself. Now, this could mean anything. As I say this to you, some of you are thinking of your connection to God. Some are thinking your connection through spirituality. Some through religion. Some through being a part of an amazing group like this. Some are thinking through the lens of personal development. Some are thinking through the lens of being at center and being whole with yourself. I'm not here to tell you which one, but I'd love for you to find where can you plug into? Who are you having conversations with when no one's watching? Where do you feel plugged into something bigger than you? We all need to feel something, be a part of something bigger than ourselves. That's why I love creating communities. That's why I love creating the accelerated success formula. That's why I love creating the course and training I did with Tony Robbins and the communities around them, because I want everybody to feel a part of something bigger than themselves. But we all need it. I need it. Right? We all want to be plugged in someplace where we can be inspired, where we can feel there's a bigger purpose. So I'm going to encourage you, fire up the spirituality again. Fire up your relationship with God. Fire up your relationship with other people. Be a part of a community. Be a part of something bigger than yourself and commit to it. Because we can, when we lock arms, when we have something bigger than us, we have something more to fight for. That's my 10 things on happiness, because if we put happiness first, then success will come so much faster. I said this in the beginning of this section, that I used to think that once I was successful, I could be happy. I watched my son and my daughter fall into that trap. Maybe they got it from me. Maybe that's just the way our subconscious works. And I want to tell you, after 3 decades of being an entrepreneur, I was completely wrong. You can create happiness today. You can change habits today to find happiness first and watch the success come so much quicker. So here's your assignment for this section. You know, I go all the way back to Benjamin Franklin. He had the 13 virtues that he thought would create the character he wanted, have the values that he wanted, be the human he wanted to be. But he knew that Rome wasn't built in a day. So he had 13 virtues that he would practice one each week. In fact, he had I remember reading about this and seeing his template for it. So I wanna give you an assignment right now. We're gonna take a little break, and I'd love for you to create a chart on how you can incorporate these 10 habits into your life. Because here's the deal. If you try to do them all at once this week, you'll fall back and you'll do none of them. Maybe you already do half of them. But as we go through these 10 happiness habits that will bring success faster into your life, I want to know which ones were like, yay, or I'm not sure, or I think I do that. I don't know. So right now, we're going to take a break. I'm going to go through all 10 of them and make a schedule on how you're going to practice them. Here's what I believe. I think you should do one a week for the next 10 weeks. And then when you're done, recycle and go again. Now, if you want to be aggressive and do 3 a week, you can. You want to do 5 a week. You want to do them all in 1 week, you can. I'm going to encourage you to make your schedule right now based on what we just taught. Now, you can go through all 10 of them, all 10 of the habits, and you can write little notes next to each one. Already do this. Do it better. Have never done this. Must make it a habit. But I would get out your calendar, make a sheet, grab a piece of paper, and write down when you're going to practice each one and which and how we can make this a part of your life. So go ahead, take the break, do the exercise, and we'll be back.